Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, episode number 103.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast.
Learn jazz piano without all the guesswork.
Now, your host, Brendan Lowe.
Welcome to the Jazz Piano School Podcast, where we have one mission, that is to help as many interested people around the world learn and improve at jazz piano by providing structured and organized jazz piano education. I'm your host, as always, Brendan Lowe, and thank you so much for joining me in today's episode 103 on modal interchange reharm. So I'm going to be taking things a step further in this episode, going over how we can start to use some of the new chords we've learned coming from the natural minor scale, that we're borrowing, and how we can use those to, you know, do some cool things, some fun things, and add those, implement those into our harmonies. So we got a lot of great things going on. I think I say that like every time. I really love doing this podcast. It gives me a chance to talk to all of you. And the audio listeners, you guys get a different intro than the YouTube listeners, because YouTube people, you know, they want to just watch the video usually for the most time. So anyone that's listening to the audio, you get more of an insight into things that are happening, updates, you know, my current mood, whether I'm excited. I'm usually always excited, but, you know, sometimes I'm a little bit more stressed than usual if we're trying to create a product or whatever, you know, a course or things like that. So speaking of that, we have the launch of the lab coming up soon. And again, if you're interested in learning more about that and you've been listening to the podcast, you can go to jazzpianoschool.com/lab launch, jazzpianoschool.com/lab launch. Now with this, these are going to be small upgrade formulas that you can use to really kind of focus on really specific areas of your playing, right? And they're going to allow you to kind of instantly upgrade those areas. They're short, really short upgrade formulas you can move through quickly within a week, right? Upgrade those areas of your playing and start to kind of, you know, up the levels, you know, the skill sets in your jazz is just so huge, right? We have comping, we got voicings, we got improv, we got voice leading, we got, you know, solo piano, we got learning tunes, we got chord symbols, we just have so many different things, reharms, you know, bebop. And before I had built the main course, and obviously that is huge. So actually, speaking of the main course, if you're not a member right now, what's happening is that we are going to be pulling the main course from the member base. So, you know, if you've been listening to the podcast or you're not a member, this is actually going to be the last time that you can subscribe to the main course. It's just going to be more of a standalone course for purchase rather than subscription. So the lab is going to be our main subscription library. You can obviously add on the course at any time, but as far as subscribing to the main course and getting the lab as well, you can do that now. But again, we're going to be pulling that, so that's no longer going to be available. The lab is going to be our only kind of subscribed area, members area, right? We're going to have a lot of different things, gig analysis from my gigs and some of the staff gigs in New York City, which is going to be phenomenal. I can't wait for that, where we analyze things that are going on. We're going to do some live webinars, monthly webinars. We're going to kind of go over, you know, allow you guys to ask questions to myself or some of the staff, and we are going to answer them and show you live demos and things like that. It's going to be awesome. All the podcast materials are going to be in the lab for new members, so you don't have to kind of opt in to get the materials if you're not a member, right? They'll be listed there, and then obviously we'll be posting new resources from, you know, kind of some of the gig analysis or the video trainings that we do monthly. So it's just going to be a whole slew of things, and obviously it's going to continue to expand, so I'm just really, really excited about that. And again, the main course, the really just like the big kahuna that I created first, like I did all the work first for that thing, which is good. It feels good for me, because now it's like, oh, we got this huge journey curriculum for the people that really want to go deep, right? You really just want to get into the nitty gritty of following a step-by-step curriculum. You can do that now, but again, that's going to kind of be pulled off the shelf. It's just going to be for purchase, right? The course is just going to be for purchase. No more subscriptions are going to be allowed to kind of move through that. So I think that's going to be better for people, actually, because it's going to allow you to be committed, right? It's going to allow you to commit to it and kind of say, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to move through this, and I'm going to see results from the step-by-step program. So anyway, that's kind of the stuff that we have going on here. Again, go to jazzpianoschool.com/lab launch for more info. on when the lab's coming and all the goodies and details that are going to be coming with that. So with that being said, let's dive into this episode. So we talked about modal interchange in the last episode. And just to review the chords again, the chords are coming from our natural minor scale. Okay, so that's our C natural minor scale. So we're building chords from the natural minor scale. Our first chord is just a regular C minor 7 chord, okay? Our second chord is going to be a minor 7 flat 5 chord. Our third chord is going to be, right, a E flat major 7 chord. Fourth chord is our F minor 7. Fifth chord is our G minor 7. Sixth chord is our A flat major 7. And our last chord is our dominant flat 7 chord. All right. So those are the chords we talked about. We talked about some different examples, when they're used, how they're used. And so what I'm going to do is just go a step further and kind of talk about the different ways that you're going to see these most often. Like I gave you some examples from tunes and things like that, but I want to tell you more about how you can kind of use them in your playing and your harmonies. Now, I think the most crucial part to understanding modal change actually is going to come more so for composition. Okay, for composition, you can understand how these are connecting now and use them in different ways. So what do I mean by that? Well, you know, usually when you start to think about composition, you're thinking about the key. You're thinking about, for example, the major scale. So you're thinking about the diatonic chords in the major scale, right? Then we start to write tunes off of that. So maybe we have a C major 7, right? Going to D minor 7, maybe walking up, right? Chromatically, E minor 7, F major 7, right? May I go to A minor 7? Maybe to E minor 7, back to F major 7. Anyway, we're using the chords diatonically from the key of C. Now, when we have or knowledge of the way modal interchange works, we can start to borrow some of these new chords that we're kind of experimenting with and start to write tunes with those chords, right? So I'm not always going to be thinking diatonically anymore. I'm not going to be thinking about just the 7 chords within the key of C, right? So I might go C major 7 to D minor 7 to E minor 7 to F major 7. But now here, like I talked about last time, I can go to the 4 minor and then maybe back to E minor. Maybe I go to E flat major now, right? And then maybe back to D minor. Maybe I do another modal interchange chord, minor 7 flat 5. Sus. Regular sus, right? And then back to C major, right? So we can start to use these chords to create songs. Maybe I go completely, you know, maybe I use more chords from my natural minor scale, right? That's kind of, it sounds like more of an R&B beat chord progression right there. We have the C major 7 going to our flat 3 major 7 to our flat 6 major 7, right? Maybe we double time the feel a little bit. Maybe we don't, right? So again, we can start to use these in a lot of different ways. And again, composition is a great thing for a lot of people looking to write tunes. You have more knowledge, you have more movements available to you, right? The flat 7 is a really nice sound with a sharp 11. I love adding that into the dominant sound. Right, we can go down to the flat 6, right? Maybe the G minor 7, right? To the 4 major, so we switch back to major diatonic, right? Maybe to the flat 3 major. I love the 2 minor flat 5. Right? So we have so many different types of movements we can start to use and construct amazing sounding tunes from these kinds of things. Now again, I haven't gone into the other minor scales. I'm going to probably do that in the next episode. Again, modal interchange is just it's a beast in itself. But just talking about some of the chords that we've used from last time, right? These are some of the things you can do, okay? So composition is definitely, I'd strongly urge you to explore, right? Explore the ways you can put all the harmonies together like I was just doing, and you're gonna write some great stuff, right? You're gonna write some great tunes just using the chords. You have 7 diatonic chords from major and the 7 diatonic chords from your natural minor scale as well, and you're gonna get some great stuff out of that, okay? So composition, definitely. Now in tunes, for example, the composer wrote things and intended for things to sound a certain way. Now in jazz, obviously, we have a little bit of freedom. But there's obviously times where we can start to take, you know, leeway on that and kind of add our own expression in. And that's no problem. I mean, it's completely up to you. I'm going to kind of show you some places where we can use the chords. And again, most of the times, the chords are going to be used in like intros and outros. But here's for my first example. For Night and Day, right? We already have a modal interchange chord of the minor 7 flat 5 going to the G7, going to the C major 7, ending on a major diatonic chord, right? Now, what if we play the A flat major 7 instead of the D minor 7 flat 5? Now, this is a common, you actually hear this done a lot by pianists. This is a common reharm over Night and Day. I think McCoy does it on one of the albums. I can't remember what album necessarily, but I think that's where that came from. And so we have the A flat major here. That's almost a substitution for the D chord, right? And you'll notice it's a tritone away. We're not using a tritone sub necessarily, but we're using a modal interchange chord, in place of a modal interchange chord, which is another sub. Now, if this was just a regular 2-5, it would still sound great to use the substitution of that modal interchange chord, right? So the A flat major going down to G7. I'd recommend throwing the flat 13 in there. It's kind of like a nice leading note that stays in the 5 of the A flat, going to the 5, or excuse me, the flat 13 of the G7, and then resolving. That was a 2-5, right, with some drop twos. Here's my E, so here's my B flat minor 7. I just added some movements in there, right? And then going down to my E flat 7 flat 9, and then back to my A flat major 7, going into my G7. So as a substitution, we can start to use that A flat major in place of a 2. That's a really nice way to use it. Or leading down, right, leading down into a G dominant 7 if we're going to be resolving to the C major 7. So for example, if we're on the 4, right, the 4 is going to the 5 and then back to the 1. Maybe we throw in a modal interchange, right? Maybe we go 4, maybe we go flat 6, and then down to the 5, right? So anytime we have a 5 chord, we can kind of throw that A flat in major 7, that modal interchange chord. It leads very, very nicely down into the 5 chord. Maybe if we throw in our, well, I'm going to talk about that later, but. So you see the movements there. We had the A flat going to the G sus, resolution with my flat 9, sharp 11, and then leading into my C major 7, okay? So that's kind of, you know, more or less how the A flat major 7 is used. Now, in place of, you know, in tunes, for example, like I said, you could mess around with a sub if you want to use the A flat in place of the 2, right? I'm just speaking the key of C here, obviously. If you want to use the flat 6 in place of the 2 in certain times to lead into your 5, go for it, right? I wouldn't necessarily just throw any of these modal interchange chords into certain situations where, you know, it doesn't really make sense theoretically or kind of it's not really what the composer intended, you know? So if we have like an E dominant 7, right, I wouldn't play a A flat major there instead of that E dominant 7 chord, right? I wouldn't necessarily do that. So basically, the next one I'm going to talk about is your minor 7 flat 5 chord. Now, the good thing to do for that is, right, a lot of the times I love using this minor 7 flat 5 chord just in place of the 2. Okay, it's a really nice kind of contrast when you have the minor 7 flat 5 in there in place of the 2 chord. So regularly we have a 2, right, going to the 5. You're just regular rootless voicings. If I use my minor 7 flat 5, right? It's just a really beautiful sound, right? So here's my minor 7 flat 5 going to my sus resolution. So that's how I usually use the modal interchange for any sort of 2-5. I'll just replace the regular minor 7 chord with a minor 7 flat 5. I just sneak the flat 5 in there instead of having the natural 5 in there. Right? This is a very gospel sound. Right? Right, you have that minor 7 flat 5 2, then they go to the 5 here, or 1 over 5 rather. You know, they have all these, sorry, I was getting a little, got carried away there. So that's kind of like a churchy sound you can get out of that as well. So that's another nice way to do, but it's a very subtle texture. Like you can use it, especially in ballads. It's really great if you have a 2-5, or if you're coming from a 4, maybe leading to 3, and someone's expecting to hear the 2, just a regular 2, right? Maybe that's when you throw in a minor 7 flat 5, right? So you have the 4, going to 3, and then you land on that minor 7 flat 5. Ooh, right? And it's one note. You're only changing one note. That's the greatest thing about it. And then you go right back into your diatonic major, right? With your G sus, relating to your G dominant, right? And then you resolve to your major 7. I mean, just the change of that one note is just like gives chills, right? That voicing right there. So we're using modal interchange in very subtle ways that are going to affect the harmonies. I mean, this is advanced stuff, guys, right? This is getting into really advanced stuff. You need to know how to use these subtly to really affect the harmonies and provoke emotion, right? This is how we move people through the music and write as well, okay? The one sus is a cool thing to use. I like to use this a lot, you know, for different things. If we create a delayed resolution, and again, this is using our 5 minor 7, essentially creating a sus chord over the C. So what I'd really think about in terms of this is playing one sus, right? So one any form of one sus resolving to the maybe one major, the one dominant. You could have the, you know, the sus 7 and then resolve it. You know, whatever you want to do. I mean, and again, in certain situations, like obviously in a bebop tune, I probably wouldn't like use this in Joy Spring, you know, playing like the F sus. You know, it's, again, it's, you have to kind of develop a relationship for these textures. I'm trying to explain the best form in use of these. So this is probably more of a, again, more of a church sound, or if you're writing, or if you're playing like more of a funk or R&B style beat. Right, so kind of that style, like you, again, it's a stylistic subtlety that all these little things kind of add up, but it's really good to see where they stem from, right? Where the seed is starts from, and then you kind of, you hear these things and you're like, oh shoot, okay, that's what's going on, right? So that's a one sus, that's how I like to use that. The flat 7, again, the one sus, by the way, can use use as a nice outro, right? So if you have a, let me see, if medium swing, let's say this is ending. Right? You can kind of delay or like fade out on that vamp. A lot of these are really nice for intros and outros as well. The flat 7 is a really nice one. Again, this is kind of, you can obviously use this in writing a lot. You know, in any sort of combination that you want, the flat 7 dominant. I love adding the sharp 11 like I demonstrated in Christmas Time Is Here. It's a great ending, right, to use of your ending. So again, we have our ending times maybe on a ballad. Right, very beautiful ending if you go to that flat 7 sharp 11. Right. high and then end on the one chord. Okay. Again, the flat seven is more of an extension of the four minor as well. I should have talked about four minor first, but I didn't. But anytime we use the four minor, right, this modal interchange chord, we can go to our flat seven as well as a 2-5, right? Just like the Ladybird progression, right? Now, how would we actually like kind of use this to reharm a tune? Well, if we get to, again, like a one chord, you can use it as just like a side slip reharm movement. So let's say you have two measures on C, and you need some filler chords, right? You gotta put some movement chords in there. Obviously, we have certain types of walk-ups we can do, or stuff like that, or we can use the flat seven. Right? So let's say you're sitting on the one chord and then you have a 2-5 into the four. It's a really cool thing to just go into the flat seven, whether you're playing swing or straight or like a gospel feel. Right? And then you go into your four chord or even swing. So however you want to use it, again, that's a really cool way. And again, with the four minor, if you're on the four minor and there's no, it's your four minor sits on the four minor for two measures or one measure, even with one measure, you can go to that flat seven. You know, one of the, we play this song in church. I'm a music director at a church. And one of the songs we do is it goes up to, let me see. It goes up to the four major, okay? This is going to kind of relate to the four minor as well, so I might as well talk about the four minor. Anytime you get to your four major, right, I love taking the four major and moving it to four minor, right? Going to your modal interchange chord. So in this case, we're playing this tune in D. We get to four major, right? And then I go to the four minor. Now, that's not written in the tune, but it's still, I'm borrowing my modal interchange chord, and it's a very nice harmonic movement. We have four major to four minor to one, right? Okay, and so again, usually I think what happens, let me see. And again, this can be any type of four minor, just a regular four minor major, four minor six, right? Any of that stuff works. So what I do is that sometimes, like during the tune, is that it's only one bar, I believe, of the four major, two, three, four, and then I have to go back to the one. Now at the end, right, we kind of vamp out a little bit. So instead of just staying on the four minor, I add the flat seven in. I add the extension to the five chord, right? So the G minor going to the C. So I add in the, and then back to the one. That rhythmically, that's not the exact song, but you start to get the idea there, right? So we have the four minor and then one. You don't have to have that sharp 11 in there too. It can just be a regular dominant chord, right? Now, one of the other things I love to do as well that kind of includes this is that instead of going to the four minor, you just go straight to the flat seven sus, because essentially they're very similar harmonies, right? If I play my G minor seven and I just switch the bass note, I'm still getting the sus chord, right? So one, two, three, four major, right? Now, I don't go to the four minor. I just go immediately to flat seven sus, four major, flat seven sus. People love this. I love this. I mean, that's an amazing sound. You can resolve that if you want to. So sus. Now, Now in jazz, right, that's more of gospel church stuff or straight ahead R&B if you guys are playing any that style, right? Even in jazz, right, if we're swinging something, four major, right, you can resolve to that flat seven there if you want. Again, that sus sound is going to be definitely more of a gospel sound. It's more of just a churchy sound in general. Like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts around that. If you play the flat seven sus, that is a pure, like, churchy sound. That's what it's going to give you. So if you start getting into funk, or if you're trying to morph your jazz tune into that type of style at the end, like, we have fun doing that stuff in the group I play in, you know, like, at the end of some jazz tunes, right, we'll be swinging. This is just a made-up progression here. But we'll have four major, right? And then we'll go, and then kind of morph. You know, so however you want to use it, it's that works. So the four minor, again, it can be used in a lot of different ways. You can take your four major, you can go right, I'm back in the key of C here. Take your four major, you can go directly to your four minor. It's a really nice thing. Again, four minor major is a really nice thing to do. It's great on endings, or again, the four minor wants to move back to the one, or it doesn't have to, but it's a very good way to move back to the one. So if we have C major seven, we're sitting there for a bar, I think. I believe this is written into I Can't Get Started in the ballad. I can't remember off the top of my head, though, but I think you're going to hear this a lot. Like, when you get to the end of an A section before the bridge, if the one chord is sitting there for two full measures, or if it's two full measures, so maybe one measure, one, two, three, four, you'll see that written in, right? Just one full measure of the one chord to get some movement in there, so you're not just sitting on there or just filling, right? You know, however you want to, you move to your four minor. It's a really pretty movement. So one, two, three, four, back to the one. You hear that? And again, you can even throw in the extension, the flat seven. So one, two, like that, right? Okay. And again, the four minor, it's an amazing chord. It doesn't have to go from the four major seven. You don't have to be on the four major seven. I mean, you can go your one to two directly to four minor. You know, maybe, I don't know, I'm trying to think of some other progressions. I really like going from four minor to five sus flat nine. You got to think about all the extensions when you're saying all these different types of quality chords, right? The name is like freaking three words long. So there's my five sus with a flat nine, right? Because the flat three stays as the continuous note that kind of rings out through the flat sus. That's a really nice progression as well. But again, you don't have to move from the four major all the time to the four minor. And again, when reharming, for reharming purposes, most of the time this is going to be used when you're just sitting on the four major. You can go to the four minor, right? Put some movement in there. If it's two bars of four major seven, maybe you add in the four minor just for a little bit of movement. So again, otherwise you'd be soloing, and you can do this comping or soloing however you want. Any sort of reharm you add, just put it in your right hand as you're soloing, right? So again, for the example of Night and Day, instead of soloing over the minor two to the five, you'd solo over A flat. Motif I created. So right, you just solo over any of the reharm you put in. So if you're soloing over the four major, right, let me see, one, two, I couldn't decide on the tempo, one, two, three, four, right, so you just add in that little movement. It's just one movement. So one, two, three, four, one, two, three, instead of two full bars of the four major seven. That was four bars, but you get the picture there. All right. So that is how we're kind of using the modal interchange chords. And again, there's subtleties. It does take a lot of experimentation for the sounds. Like you have to develop a relationship to these sounds and experiment with them in order to kind of understand. I wouldn't necessarily throw them in random spots where, again, if you're playing like a jazz standard, any sort of just like Gershwin tune or like a real classic standard, I wouldn't necessarily throw in these modal interchange chords. They're going to be more used for, well, again, I guess that's not exactly true. I mean, because you use them in Night and Day and stuff like that. I mean, you can just experiment as long as it doesn't get too outside the box, right? In some situations, you're definitely good. I mean, again, like I said, they're more for subtleties, using them for certain subtleties when you're going through ballads or different type of reharm tunes. Like, again, if you have a situation where you have two measures on the four major, go to the four minor. Or maybe you do four major and then go to the flat seven. Right, that's a really cool thing to do. Or you could go to four major, maybe flat three major if that's not getting too out for the standard, right? And then back to the one, you know, who knows. So that is the materials there. We don't have any practice materials there. I would just encourage you for this episode to kind of experiment, right? Maybe write some tunes that use modal interchange, or you just try to put them in the different places in tunes where you think they might fit. You know, just experiment and see what happens. See what you like, see what you gravitate towards, and start to develop a relationship with these types of harmonies, right? Explore, spend an hour, right? Just playing with the one sus, resolving, right? Spend an hour playing with a flat seven sus, see what you can get out of it, and maybe solo over it, comp with it, use it in some different some progressions, right? Comp the progressions over and over, write out some progressions of your own, how you use it. And again, it's all that type of material that you're going to start to develop a relationship and connection with these types of modal interchange chords so that you can use them and implement them as a tool, right? As a learning and educational tool into different types of tunes that you're going to be playing, you know, whether it's through the real book or with original compositions of others, and you'll really get to, you know, get the most out of the modal interchange chords. Okay. I hope that was helpful, guys. Again, no materials for this episode, but I'll see you in the next one at episode 104. Have fun and happy practicing.